last submissions that Australia did to the United Nations Ecosoc Council, the Economic and Social Rights people, when they did that, 110 of the 186 nations condemned Australia for their record. So Australia haven't got it easy. We send off regular briefs to the United Nations. We've been briefing the President of the General Assembly through the Sovereign Union and we to all the member states of the UN of all the wrongdoings here in Australia. So Australia must realise that there's a lot of countries watching very closely. And in fact, when you go to embassies in Canberra, as I do regularly and have meetings and have with the various ambassadors and chargé d'affaires, I find that they always say, you know, we know the problem. We need the solution and we need that from you and we'll follow your lead. So this is where we're at in Australia. I think are pushing it uphill to try and get a seat on the council, and not to mention, you know, the issue of gay rights, not to mention the issue of refugees. Australia's got real problems the world is watching very close. Australia, unfortunately, are great at telling lies and deceiving people. They're brilliant. And, you know, they've mastered the art of deceit. The world can sort of take a lesson from Australia. If you look at all the information that they put up and talk to international communities, they show this wonderful side of Australia that has millions of dollars set aside for IBA and millions of dollars set aside for ILC, but they're buying it for organisations and for government because there's a rule in common law called escheat, and that means that the government owns it and they give it out because they can't find any owner. Now, that's normally reserved to a king, and in this case, Australia governs in the name of the Crown of England. And that's why they're able to create a statute such as the Indigenous Land Corporation, such as ILC, such as ORIC, because they take everything back when they're ready to take it back.
The push for constitutional recognition is amping up the movement to try and get it happening. What we have seen, though, over the last few years is the growing movement for treaty. Many of the mob across the country, constitutional recognition doesn't sit quite as well as what it does with the mainstream population. And the reality is constitutional recognition, while the experts tell us it will make a difference, many people on the ground see that very differently.
Yeah, of course. The experts are spin doctors. They've got no idea, mate, because, you know, how in the world can they go out there and say, look, it's not going to make any change if nobody knows what the wording is going to be? Then when we look at the wording, we need to look at, you know, the intent of the wording. We need to look between the lines to see what's going on. And, you know, that's not evident right now. And, you know, they're spending millions and millions of dollars on softening the population up and saying, yes, we should have Aboriginal people. There's more Aboriginal people now on TV than ever in advertisement commercials, and they're paying very big money to run these commercials, mind you. That's why they need $15 million to run these campaigns, like paying footballers to wear the R on their trousers and shirts and branded on the football ovals when they're playing, so everyone can see. But the thing is that what the Australian government are not realising, and that is the population saying, we want to know what the Aboriginal people want, not what the government want. And there's a very big split. And of course, you know, those who've taken on the image and practices of the oppressor, these people are, you know, they're very well paid for their positions. And unfortunately, they have very little relationship with the grassroots community. So this is a thing that's being imposed yet again upon Aboriginal people. And, you know, if it was going to be done properly, well, then they'd talk to us. And right now, everybody's saying sovereignty's never ceded, let's talk treaty. And Malcolm Fraser did that way back when he was Prime Minister with the NAC. He was negotiating on the basis that sovereignty had never been ceded. We had enormous discussions. There was no need for constitutional change to enter into a treaty because Section 51, Subsection 26 and the Foreign Affairs Powers granted the Australian government constitutional powers to enter into a treaty with Aboriginal people when and if they so desired. It's already there. We don't have to make any changes whatsoever.
Without getting into a he said, she said scenario with some of the Aboriginal leaders who've put their hand up for constitutional recognition, many of these people do have a very high media profile. It becomes easy in a sense for mainstream to accept and believe that they are the voice of Aboriginal Australia.
That's the case, Paul, but the thing is that what people are starting to now realise, and that is that the mainstream media, everybody talks about how, you know, mainstream media does its spin you know, that there are very good, clever tacticians within the media, both print and television and radio. And, of course, they all have an opinion and they push the opinion that the government pays for their advertisement. We, on the other hand, a lot of people are discounting social media, and social media has a greater audience right across this country and internationally.
The push for treaty, you're obviously continuing to travel across the country. What have people been saying to you, grassroots people? What's the message you're hearing?
Well, the message in the community at the grassroots is such that they want nothing to do with it. And they're all saying, you know, these people who are promoting and as leaders are on the government payroll or mining company payrolls, and they're not interested in dealing with anything. They're more to do with, you know, making their own choices. And that's what everybody's pushing. And the treaty factor is on the basis that sovereignty was never ceded and we need to get this straight.
The government seems to pick and choose who it thinks is the voice of the people.
Always, mate. But the thing is that when Aboriginal people such as our groups, you know, the grassroots, are getting on top, they always say, no, you can't speak for this other mob, you can't speak for that other mob. You know, that's always the case. And the government knows very well their responsibilities. The government knows their responsibilities and they know that, you know, it's time that, you know, things be put aside and that we do it according to the people. You know, we're not going to do this no more. And the people are the ones who are making those changes and the people are the ones who are demanding it. And they'll certainly make a difference, I can assure you of that.
Michael, you did mention previously about the ongoing efforts by the mob to get the message to the UN, the Aboriginal Tent Embassy in Canberra that you had quite a lot to do with in the early days. That's still a very visual presence to all of those ambassadors and people from across the world. And the role of the Aboriginal Embassy remains a presence in the face of government that won't go away.
No, that's right, and it's not going to go away. And, of course, the government are asking the question, what in the world's going on and why haven't there been changes in the last 200 years? And when you look at how much money has been spent on Aboriginal people, what the government don't tell the population of Australia is the fact that everything's done through public servants, and there are very stringent conditions upon any grants given to Aboriginal people and their organisations. If it's not done our way, well, then you don't do it. If it's not done our way, we'll take it off you. If it's not done our way, we'll recover thing. And now you've got a situation where, you know, they've got laws in place where if you want money from the government organisations, if you look at it, they blackmail them, and it's absolutely illegal. Where one of the conditions of grants now is that you must sign up to the Promote the Recognise campaign. That's a condition of grant. Now, that's totally illegal in any sense of the word. Those Aboriginal organisations are not going to bite the hand that feeds them. They'll sign up to it to keep the programs going. And this is the sad sort of situation that we find ourselves in. And it's the same as, you know, Aboriginal organisations now, communities, where they're saying we want 45-year leases or we want 99-year leases and we'll build you houses. And they're saying that we want security over the lands and the property that we build for you. It's not yours, it's ours. And we won't build it unless you sign the land over to us. Now, you know, what sort of a free society is this supposed to be? You know, it's certainly not free for Aboriginal people when you take those things into account.
Pressure from overseas countries. You said that they're watching on with great interest. What's been happening in that area as far as keeping that message at the UN and ensuring that other countries are putting pressure on the Australian government?
In fact, I'll be in New York on the 8th of next month, and I will be meeting there. I hope there are meetings being arranged, and I will have some very serious discussions with various missions to the UN. I will also be very much engaged in a whole number of meetings with decolonisation committees and so on. And I'm also off to London then to talk with a number of politicians in London, and we're ramping up our side of the activities as well. So, you know, I haven't been sitting idle. I've been very much actively engaged now in taking, formulating a strategy to get our message out to the international community, and I've got a lot of support from international countries. I just finished an essay, a three-part essay, on the illegalities of Australian, and also did an analysis of Mabo. Because they always said that Mabo created more questions than it gave answers, but that's you know, in reality, that's for the white community, the problems. It's not for Aboriginal people. And when you read the ILUAs that are being signed up to, you look at this, what they call the surrendered area, and have a look at what they're saying in those things there, where they're saying that, you know, this seer now validates all past acts without describing what past acts they're validating. The Aboriginal people have got no idea. And so they're doing it by deceit, and they've got white lawyers in this country who are totally misrepresenting to Aboriginal people the true nature of what they're signing up to. And that's a major crime, and I will be reporting that as well with the rapporteur on independence of lawyers and judges at the United Nations, and asking them to investigate Australia in that regard.
On that note, Gilar Michael Anderson, always good to catch up. Michael, thanks for your time. Good luck when you travel overseas.
Okay, mate. Thank you. Bye.